Blog Talk Radio.
Woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Here we go.
Sing it again. Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Sing it down low for him.
Sing it again.
Songs of love and songs of joy.
Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Research. We have to challenge ourselves to be real in the responses that we give to these topics too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have to be transparent. We have to be open in how we deal with our lives and what we're sharing with everybody. And so one of the things that you and I try to do with this program is we have to educate ourselves. So I'm so glad you brought up that topic about people who usually go through drama, they don't take the time to educate themselves.
Yeah.
But we have to educate ourselves before we get on this talk show and share with our sisters. It's, you know, our heart's desire, both you and I, is not to just get on here talking fluff and talking mess, but to share real tools of breakthrough, real tools of understanding, real tools that are help empower and thrust our sisters to the next level. So, you know, I'm thankful that God doesn't give us time to mellow or wallow in the drama or to stay stuck in the situations and challenges that you and I both face, just as every other woman in this world does. So I'm thankful for the show.
I am too. And, you know, and I know we have a subject matter for those who may not know. The month of March is National Women's History Month. And so this whole month of March on Tuesday evenings on Woman to Woman, we are going to be dealing with things that have to do with history. And one of the things we want to kind of do tonight, and we are going to get into that, but I think that the Holy Spirit is leading us a little different. And I say that because even when I started that, as I began to speak, I thought about women in my life who I know who have been through a lot of drama or a lot of, changing of guard, so to say, where they had a lot of friends that disappeared or left or whatever the case may be. And I really step back, and now I want to say, this is Coach D speaking, and I want to make sure that when I say what I'm getting ready to say that you really understand that I have imperfections, and I have not gotten to a place of perfection, and I don't think any of us will ever get to a place of perfection in this flesh.
Amen.
So
one perfect man.
Right. Everybody got issues. Just maybe some people's issues are different than others. And so my issue has not been, especially in the last 30 years, maybe when I was in high school,
uh-huh.
I would have to say high school, maybe early adult, like 20, 21, that I had the issues of a bunch, you know, that group of females that just kept, you know, when you get a, you know how they used to say, oh, you get a group of females together and they just keep drama going.
Oh, yeah.
And so the loss of friendships and different things, that took place in my, like late teens, early 20s. So I'm saying this to say is that I have not experienced in my mature adulthood having groups of female friends that I fell out with. I can honestly say that whatever friends was left after the tree was shaken at 20, 21, that tree was shaken at that time. And whatever friends was still hanging on are still friends to this day. 30, 40 years later, those people are still my friends. And everybody that God's brought into my life up to that point, I mean, from that point up to this point, if they're, you know, if it was a close relationship, I'm still in close relationship with those women. And I praise God for that, that he gave me a chance to not be in fear,
uh-huh.
not be in fear of opening up my heart to other women. Out of fear that they may hurt me, out of fear that they may betray me, out of fear. I just don't operate in that space. And as a result of me not operating in that space, I believe that you got to be what you want.
You definitely have to be what you want. You know, gosh, the Holy Spirit really is taking the show to a whole different place than what we originally planned, because, again, on my way over here, just I like to get into a place of being prepared for the show. So I always go into my quiet space when I'm traveling to the studio. But one of the things that I was thinking about, because I do have people in my life that may not care for me, but it doesn't mean that I don't care for those people.
Mm.
And so, you know, those were some of the thoughts that were going through my mind, especially with this month, the topics that we'll be facing this month, because I've had experiences where drama has tried to come up in my life, And when those experiences have came across my path, I don't try to participate in those. I don't play a hand in participation of those. And sometimes people might think, well, she must think she's too good, or, you know, she trying to be all that, but I'm really not trying to be all that. That's my character and that's my nature. And what I'm going to say by that is, you know me. You've known me for over 15 years now. And so you know the type of woman that I am. And it took a lot for me to grow into this place. But when it comes to the drama that we as women go through, the trying to tear each other down and break each other down because of the hurts and the pains that we've experienced, that is one place where I refuse to participate in. I don't believe in taking participation in that. Even in coming from a place where I've been hurt, even if I'm in the situation and I'm being hurt, I refuse to bring pain to someone else. And you may ask, like, well, how do you do that? By the choices that we make, the decisions that we make in life, the decisions that we make. That was one of the things that God was showing me, is that no matter what, when we talk about integrity, everybody thinks integrity is making the right choice when nobody is looking, but or making right choices all of the time.
Right.
Who makes right choices all of the time? And who always makes right choices when nobody is looking? Integrity is so much more than that. Integrity is being able to stand behind the choices that you make, being able to stick your hand in God's hand and walk and face and boldly face the responsibility, the accountability, the rewards and consequences that come along with the choices that we make in life.
Wow.
And so I say that, and I'm sharing that, and going back to the whole point that I was making, is that we as women, with this program, we are trying to make sure that our sisters understand that we all go through pain. We all go through suffering. But we have to start being the queens. We have to start being the crook that shepherds carry, which is we correct and we guide each other, especially us older women when it comes to the younger women. We have to start being able to set the examples. And it doesn't mean that we'll always make the right choices, but it means even when we don't make the right choices, we stand together and support each other to be able to make the right choice next time.
I get that. Owning, you know, owning or being responsible for the choices that you made and the damage that those choices can make. And you have to be willing to own what you've done. I find that it is, like you said, you know, been knowing each other for years and being able to have fallout and be able to come back. And in order to do that, you have to be prideless.
Yes.
You have to be able to set aside your pride. You have to be willing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing, you know, your relationship. I'm going to give a good example. Your relationship with your fellow sisters, or your relationship with anybody for that matter,
mm-hmm.
but because this is woman to woman, I'm going to stick with the topic on women. You have to be willing to repent.
Amen.
Because repentance brings true forgiveness.
Yes.
So if you've done something, even if you don't know what you've done, but I think it is important that you go to your sister, that your sister has fought with you. I think it's important, you, even if you don't believe that you've done anything wrong, and go and be willing to say, hey, if I've done anything to hurt you, if I've done this, or if I said this, or this, you know, if you took this way, I repent. You have to be willing to repent. You have to be willing to seek the forgiveness, even when it may not be you that needed the, you know, the forgiveness, even when it might be the other person that needed to ask for forgiveness. But you have to be willing to do that, and that's a matter of pride. What do you care about this person? Because to me, you've been in my life, let's say 15 years, you've been in my life, and we have a fallout, a disagreement, or we fall out, why was you in my life for 15 years? Really?
Yeah.
But there had to be some kind of bond. There had to be some kind of love there for you to even be in my life for 15 years. So for you to be in my life for 15 years and then we have a fallout to the point now we distant enemies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if you wasn't about nothing,
uh-huh.
I should have known that way before 15 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And people say, well, we was friends for 20 years and all of a sudden they tripped. Why did they trip? Now, they could just be they tripped. I'm not trying to say go back and grab up old friendships that you know was toxic. Because another thing, too, we could come into the knowledge. Because life is about growth.
Yes, it is.
And Lauryn Hill said it best. If you ain't changing, you dead.
That's
you know?
So true.
And she was basically speaking as when she got into her career and began to grow and become successful, everybody said, well, you're changing. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, you got money now, you changed. She said, no, I'm changing because if you don't change, you dead.
Yes.
In other words, everything growing is changing, and we should be constantly evolving. And I think sometimes what happens, there's a natural process of elimination
uh-huh.
that takes place in our lives. But even in that natural process of elimination, there's no pain with that, I don't believe. Now, you can. Maybe sometimes you're holding on to something longer than you're supposed to. But I believe that even in the natural process of elimination, I have some friends that are still people that if I see them 20, 30 years from now, I still love them the same. I'll still hug them. We'll still have a great conversation, laugh and talk. And then we go on our merry ways. But there has been a evolving, or we have evolved into different directions and we no longer have the same commonality that we had before, but it didn't have to be drama. We didn't have to fall out. It didn't have to get ugly. We didn't have to backbite each other. It didn't happen. It was just a natural transition.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I love where this topic is going. That's exactly what I love. But one of the things when you say that it's the drama, the pain and suffering of releasing situations that are no longer relevant to where you are today. As you mentioned a word earlier. You mentioned the acronym. You said STDs. And can you repeat what that means?
STDs. Either stop the drama or start the drama.
Okay. I love that because you mentioned, okay, if we're releasing those relationships, because they're no longer relevant where we are today, there shouldn't still be that pain and suffering of the past. There still shouldn't be that drama of the past that's associated or that still rises from where you are now. You shouldn't still be connected to the past. And I think that in today's society, one of the things that prevents women from doing that is that drama is promoted everywhere you go, everywhere you look. Drama is promoted, and it takes panels like this. It takes tools like Woman to Woman and other societies that are out there, Girlfriend Gathering and different things like that, to say, hey, let's stop the drama.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move to a relevant place. Let's move to the places that we need to be in life in order to be empowered to get the things done that we need to get done in life.
Right. That's so true. I, you know, as you were saying that, what came to my mind is one of the things I find myself doing, especially at this phase of my life, there's an area of growth that you get to, at least for me, where I'm finding myself thinking of ways
mm-hmm.
that I can empower and encourage my sister.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, through words.
Wow.
You know, because I believe that words are important. And I know that I use the first half of my life using them carelessly. I mean, I knew the power of words, but I used my words to damage, to destroy, you know, to be destructive versus to be empowering. And so now I find I'm at a point in my life or a stage in my life where and I'm not talking about, these are not women that I would necessarily classify as my friends.
Uh-huh.
And when I say that, because you hear that word friend lose used loosely. And so I'm going to give an analogy for your listening audience so that you can understand when I'm speaking and when I say about friends, when I'm speaking, you know, they said that Jesus fed the 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
He taught the 70. He discipled the 12, but he was only close to 3.
Uh-huh.
And that, when I heard that, it made so much sense because I was like, wow, I get that. If nobody else gets that, I get that.
Yeah.
Because in the position that I am as Coach D, I meet thousands of people. And I don't know all these. It's impossible to know any of these people personally,
mm-hmm.
you know, intimately. And so I know thousands of people. And then there might be 70 that I may be able to know by name, you know. And then you got the 12. And
yeah.
these are people that you have spent intimate time with. And then you got those 3. Those are the 3 that know your ugly. they know that without prayer, they know without your vertical relationship, they know that you could, you know, that you could go straight out of Compton.
Yeah.
Straight out of Compton. You know, so I'm saying all this to say is that those 5,000,
uh-huh.
those 70s, I mean, of course my inner circle get loved on, but I'm talking about those are the ones I try to give words to.
Yeah.
Those are the ones, I mean, do you know how somebody's day could be changed, their life or their day, just by saying, good morning, gorgeous, hello, beautiful? Have you been told you loved and appreciated? Do you know that that could change somebody's whole
psychological mindset.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And I'm saying, and I find joy in that now. And that don't cost me nothing.
It doesn't.
It don't cost me nothing for me to just love on somebody.
And you get outside of yourself. You get outside of your own problems. You get outside of your own challenges. And what you find when you become a blessing is that you blessing others so much, it's so hard for you to live in a distressed state.
Because what I found is that when they talk about seed sowing, you know, when the word of God speaks about sowing seed, and that every seed produces after is
own kind.
Well, think about that. That's truth. That's not just some biblical religious mumbo jumbo. Because when you take an apple seed and you plant an apple seed, you're gonna get what? Limes? Surely not. So I say that to say is that when I plant seeds of blessing to people, whatever those blessings may be, what I find is that I am overtaken by blessings. God has blessed me to be a blessing, and
yeah.
When you plant a seed, woo! When you plant a seed, an apple seed, and that apple seed then produces a tree. That tree don't just produce one apple.
It doesn't.
So if you take one seed that now produces a tree that produces numerous apples in season, and when you cut open just one of those apples, so you got a tree that got 100 apples on it. From one seed. Then you open up one of those apples, and it got another 10 seeds in it.
Uh-huh.
And so you're thinking, you take that 10 seeds and one apple times about 100 apples in a tree, just for this season, because the tree don't die.
Exactly.
So one seed has seeds that spread across the universe.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm going to sow any kind of seeds, I would suggest, or I would encourage to sow seeds of blessing.
Amen.
Because one seed, I can say one blessing, bless one person, and that one, by me blessing that one person, that seed, that could become thousands of blessings.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that the mentality should be, oh, and a lot of people do this, for example, tithe. I'm tithing because if I tithe, God is going to, you know, bless. That really should not be the basis of it, but that's the benefit.
Yeah.
The basis of my tithing is obedience.
Amen.
The benefit of my tithing is
blessed.
I'm blessed. Hallelujah. So I'm saying to us as women, take the time to be a blessing. Take the time to sow the seed. whatever it is, you know, that you desire. Sow the seed. If you desire a blessing, be a blessing.
Amen.
If you lacking in, you know, if you feeling unloved, then go love, sow some love.
Sow some love. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know?
Yeah, sow some love. So I like how you said whatever it is that you desire, sow that so that you can reap that. Because a farmer does not go into his field and sow corn hoping to get wheat. He doesn't go into his field and sow strawberries hoping to get grapes. So whatever you sow, make sure you're intentional about what you're sowing. And when you're intentional about it, make sure that you till the ground. Make sure that you tend to the entire process of sowing so that you can reap the harvest as well. So don't go out there and just, you know, I'm a hug on this person just so I can give some love, but then I'm not going to tend to that relationship either.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things, you know, again, you know, I don't, I'm not trying to boast about woman to woman, but I'm grateful to God for woman to woman. And that's why it keeps coming up and welling up inside of me. It's not that I'm boasting about it, but I'm so blessed and thankful for this platform because, again, this is about tending the garden. This is about making sure that the harvest, that the fruit that gets to the harvest is ripe, it's ready, and it's plentiful.
Yes.
And that we don't leave anybody behind. And so the aim and the goal, again, is to make sure that we are loving on our sisters, that we're not only loving on them, but we're making sure that we get out there weekly and we tend that garden, we prune the garden, we get rid of the weeds, we get rid of the tares, and that we're taking care of each other. And like I said, it's not going to always be that you get it right or I get it right or anybody else out there gets it right. But when we don't get it right, having the heart, the willingness, and the desire to support each other, not crucify, not criticize, not condemn each other, but to support, uphold, correct, and guide each other to a place where we can get it right.
Amen. I tell you, that is so good. As you were saying, that's one of the scriptures that came to mind for me is 1 Peter, and it's 1 Peter 4:8. And I just want to read that really quick here because you know, we're talking about loving on our sisters. And, you know, we said that this is the month of March is National Women's History Month. And we're going to be loving on our sisters the month of March.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to be loving you through some stuff.
Amen.
We're going to love you through the bitterness.
Yeah.
Whoever caused it. We don't care who caused it. We're going to love you through the bitterness. We're going to love you through the betrayal.
Yeah.
We're going to love you through, you know, the brokenness.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we want to love you through the month of March. We want to, you know, we know February was a love month, you know, that the male-female love month of February. But we're going to say March being Women's National History Month. We're going to love on our sisters. We're going to just really love on you. And so that takes me to 1 Peter chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, feel free to pull them out or at least note the scripture. Because there's nothing that we say on here, especially when we come back to the Word. Because, you know, what we try to do is bring a balance. Jesus is the center of everything.
Amen.
And I stand on that. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And I say that because you have shows out here right now. Tyrese, Reverend Ron, you have the Dr. Fields, you have the Oprahs, you have the Ivana
Van Zandt.
Okay. You have all these people. Now, I'm not knocking these people. But what I'm saying to you is that none of those people could give me advice.
Mm.
They can't give me no advice. And let me tell you why they can't give me any advice. Because anytime you make a decision, whether they're believers or not, if you're not acknowledging God, and I'm talking about
Jesus Christ,
if you're not, now, everybody got their own religions, and I get it. So I'm not knocking that. If Jesus ain't your, if that ain't your cup of tea, hey, that's fine. But what I'm saying, that's my cup of tea. And so if somebody's going to give me advice, if somebody's going to say something to me, they're going to have to minister to me the word of God. And the Word is Jesus. He was Jesus was the Word became flesh. And so I say that to say is that we got to make sure as believers. If you're not a believer, I'm not talking to you. This don't pertain to you. Still tune in to the show because what we're talking about is women, relevant women issues. It don't matter if you Buddhist. It don't matter if you Muslim, Islam. It doesn't matter what you are. You are a woman. And we're talking about matters that affect women, that's relevant to women. We're talking about, I don't care what religion you in, it ain't one religion unless you in the religion of satanic belief. If you ain't in a religion of satanic belief, I don't care what if you, I don't care if you Catholic, I don't care if you Buddhist, I don't care if you Muslim. All of these religions, that's one thing in common that all religions have.
What's that?
Love. Love. That's the one thing that all religions have is love. So, and for us, love is God. God is love, and God, and we believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Is God the Son? Amen. Because we do believe in the Trinity. So we saying all that to say, and some of y'all might hang up the phone on that. And that's okay. You know, I that's okay. I love you anyway. But 1 Peter chapter 4 verses
6 through
8. I'm gonna do chapter 7. I'm gonna do chapter 7 and 8, and it says the end of all things is at hand. So we know. Ooh, don't get me to preaching. I don't want to preach today, but it says the end of all things is at hand, and we see stuff that's going on. Our parenting stuff that was going on, their parenting stuff that was going on. We've been hearing that the world was going to end because I was born. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing that.
Yeah,
but we also know that. What is a year to us could be but a moment to God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so we know our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways is not his ways. So we understand that. But it says in this word, and we believe the word of God to be, we believe the Bible to be the inspired word of God, and it says the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayer. Mm-hmm. Wow. And above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. Mm.
Amen.
And I read that because above, you know, that's what women to women. This is not no religious show. This ain't no religious show where I'm going to try to convince you to believe what I believe or do what I do. That's just not my goal because guess what? The good thing about what I believe The good thing about what I believe is the work is already done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to go sell no. I don't have to go sell no food. I don't have to sell a newspaper. I don't have to sell myself because this work, in my belief system, the work is already done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just lining up to what's already completed.
Amen.
I'm a manifestation of the completed work.
Wow.
And so in being a manifestation of the completed work, then I need to believe. If I believe it, then I should be walking in it.
Amen.
If I believe I should be walking in it. And so because I believe it, then I have to love on my brothers and sisters,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what religion they are.
Amen.
Regardless of what their lifestyle is. Not because it's acceptable, but they know it's not acceptable. All I got to do is give them that.
Mm.
All I got to do is give it that, and that speaks for itself.
Mm.
Because guess what? Nobody can receive this unless he opens them up to receive it anyway.
Amen.
So, not that I'm going to get to preach on, I'm going to get back to not preaching, but I want to share that about the, you know, love covering a multitude of sins. And so when you can love on one another, when we can love on our sisters, when we could inspire and encourage them, when we could be a blessing to them, when in essence is loving on them. Not only does it cover a multitude of sins, but it love transforms things.
It does. Indeed it does. Like you said, it, when you're in life, if you're not growing, you're dying. And love is growth. Because if you're operating in a spirit of love, there's no way that you can stay attached to bitterness.
Mm.
There's no way for you to stay attached to hurt. There's no way for you to stay attached to pain. You know, when you talk about the spirit of love that covers a multitude of sins, love is so big and it's so outside of us that in order to stay attached to bitterness, we have to become small. We have to build a barrier up around our hearts, our minds, and our spirits in order to stay attached to that thing that's bringing us pain and suffering. And when I say you have to build up a barrier, I'm going to give you an example. If somebody comes to you to try to apologize and you steel your heart not to accept that apology, you set yourself in stone and still will, and instead of hearing the apology, all you can put before you is what was done and how it made you feel, you had to close yourself off to love in order to be able to do that. You had to make yourself small in order to be able to stay attached to that bitterness and that pain.
Yeah.
You have to cut yourself off. And if you know, those of you who are hearing the sound of my voice, you understand what I'm saying. Because even when you're going through something with your children, you could be going through something with your mate right now, and you know you can forgive. You know you can take it upon yourself to move past this point, but you want to hold on to being right. You want to hold on to being hurt, and you need to understand. He or she needs to understand that I'm hurt. They need to understand my pain. They need to feel my pain instead of just moving into and moving along with that spirit of love, that flow of love. So, again, you have to make yourself small in order for love not to operate in your life. You have to. You know, and so we are able to move away from pain and suffering. We are able to move away from bitterness. And that is, if you can catch that revelation, you can catch just the awesomeness of God, the wonderment of God and who he is. And, you know, I'm going to preach because my name is Minister Dave. No, but, when you can catch that revelation and the wonderment of who God is, it makes it, that's what makes it hard to stay mad. That's what makes it hard to stay angry. That's what makes it hard to seek vengeance. That's what makes it hard to want to, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you better than I can tell you. That's what makes it so hard. When you can't operate in a, when you are operating in those spirits, there's no way that you can be operating in those love. And you become smaller than the purpose that which you were set on this earth for.
Wow. I don't know, Minister LaDons, who's out there listening on tonight. I don't know why God does what he does. I don't even, I got to a point, you get to a point like where you don't even question why he does.
Amen.
You know, you just get to a point where he does it, and I mean, I get to a point where he doesn't, and either I deal with it or I don't deal with it. Either way, it doesn't matter. I'm saying that because there's something. This, what he's brought tonight has blessed me. I'm going to be transparent because it's put me in a situation that I got some confessions of repentance to make on tonight. And so if you're following Coach D, you can follow me, and I'm not doing it for show, but I'm doing a public confession on tonight. And I'm doing this public confession not because I need anybody's approval that listens in on this show. I'm doing this public confession because as a woman of God, that God has called to leadership.
Amen. Amen.
And if you all know me, I co-host Woman to Woman with Minister LaDon. And I co-host this show. But on Thursdays, I have my own show called Processing the Pain. I have a book that's going to be coming out at the end of spring that I'm excited about. This book is 3 years in the making.
Amen.
that I just, out of disobedience, that's the first confession, out of disobedience, the book should have been on the shelves longer, but I believe God and I trust God that through his ability to forgive us,
And make crooked roads straight,
that the promise that he has spoken on this book, that when people begin to read this book, that they will have immediate deliverance.
Because it's going to be right on time.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing this book. I'm doing this show in faith.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stepping out beyond what I see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stepping out beyond, because a lot of times most of us say, I need to get myself, even in getting saved, next week I'm going to give my life to the Lord. Next week I'm going to repent and rededicate my life back to the Lord. Next week. We say that. I said it for years. And God is just saying, just move.
Amen.
If you take the first step, I'll take some more.
Yes.
He's saying, don't you wait until you get a degree. Don't you wait until you get a master's to do what I called you to do. Because guess what? It don't matter what your education is.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only thing that you need is the favor of God upon your life.
Amen.
And the favor of God will open up doors. The favor of God will educate you. The favor of God will help you transition through.
Mm-hmm.
The favor of God will pay for some stuff that you never, ever would have been able to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
The favor of God will bring people in your life that will be willing to bless you and sow into you. So all you need is the favor of God. And I'm saying that to somebody that's out there, that God has told you to do something. God has given you a position. You have been sitting on the bench forever. And you ain't sitting on the bench because your coach ain't told you to come off the bench. You sitting on the bench because every time your coach told you to get up and get in the game, you said no.
You said, my ankle hurt, my wrist hurt.
Wait until I get glasses, I can't see. Oh, wait, you know what? Wait until I get this man out my bed because I ain't ready to give him up yet.
I'm too scared.
You know, let me get this man out my, no, I can't get this man out of my house right now because if I tell him he got to go, then I won't have my rent paid next week. You know, let's keep it real. I'll be by myself. Lord, I might not never get another man that's going to want to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather have a piece of a man than any man, did not have no man at all.
Yeah.
I'm saying this because we all done been there. We all done that. We all done went through. We all done been a baby mama.
Mm-hmm.
We all got them daddies that ain't stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
And we holding on to so much bitterness and so much anger and so much frustration that we can't even take responsibility for whatever part we may have played.
Mm.
And maybe we didn't play no part. But even so, even still with that, we can hold on to so much anger and so much bitterness because our baby daddy didn't do what we thought they were supposed to do, that we could block our blessings even in that. Mm. Because sometimes you got to stop looking at him as your baby daddy and start looking at him as your brother in Christ.
Amen.
And you have to be able to look beyond. You don't have to be friends. You don't have to be friends with them. You don't have to be around them. You don't have to be that. But what you have to do is you got to be still in your heart.
Mm.
You got to be open up and begin to let go of that stuff so that your heart is not attached in a bitterness toward this person. Just let it go.
Yeah.
And let them go on with their life. You go on with your life. But let it go, because a lot of us is holding on to some stuff. We've been betrayed. You know, we've been talked about. We've been denied. We've had to do it on our own. So many things that we've been through. And
lied on behind.
You know, we promises, broken promises.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't think, like I said again, I don't think none of us was little girls thinking, you know, growing up thinking that we were going to have kids. You know, some of us have multiple fathers, you know, with our kids. You know, I don't think no little girl grew up thinking that.
No.
I don't think no little girl grew up thinking that she was going to be married multiple times. I don't think no little girl grew up thinking, oh, I want to grow up to be a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, you know, I want to grow up to be a strip. Well, nowadays you don't know. You know, a little girl might be that because this is what her influence is, you know. But I'm saying all that to just say is that somebody out there that's listening, that's been holding on to some stuff,
uh-huh,
and you need to let that stuff go. And if you're listening in on tonight, hear what's going on. if nothing else, be true to your conviction.
Mm-hmm.
God is convicting you right now. And when God begins to convict us, we have two choices. We can receive that conviction and repent. Or if we don't repent from conviction, it's going to lead to condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
And condemnation is when we say, I'm going to be stubborn. I'm going to put my heels in the sand, in the dirt, and I'm not going. I'm not going to repent. I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to continue to hold on to this. I'm not going to repent. I'm going to stay in this place. And when you stay in that place, you disconnect yourself from God.
Yeah.
Because sin separates us from God. Not because God leaves us, but because we leave God. Because in order to be in presence with God, you have to be up under you got to be up under the covering of God.
And that's that barrier I was talking about that keeps you small. Whenever you stay connected to something that happens to you or has happened to you, you place a barrier around yourself in order to stay connected. And so, wow, that was so hot, what you just talked about. That was so true. That was so real, what you just talked about. And even in your sharing, you know, when you started talking about moving in the now, moving on what God has called you to do, even for myself, times where I felt like I had to wait on this and I had to wait on God, that I have so many different things that God has called me to do. But one is supporting nonprofits and supporting small businesses in order for them to stay alive, stay afloat, or even bring birth about their visions. And I kept saying, well, I have to wait for this or I have to wait for that. And I finally got to the point where I said, you know what, let me stop waiting and let me just start moving. And as I started moving, there was just all of these answers that now were open up to the questions that I had. But I had to first get to the point where I had the questions.
Mm-hmm.
When I was being still, I had no questions. I was just like, well, when is God going to come in here and do this for me? Or when am I going to get this done? And I'm tired of being in this same old place year after year after year. But how tired was I if I continued to sit there? And then when I finally said, you know what, I'm just going to start moving because I really am tired. I really got to a place of being tired. And as I started moving, I started seeing free classes. I started saying, you know what, I don't want to have to pay for this, so let me find a way not to pay for it. And money started coming in. Can I get you to do this for me? And I'll pay you to do this for me. So I'm saying all that to say is don't stay tied to the hurts. Don't stay tied to the pains. Don't stay tied to the uncertainties. Don't stay tied to the unwillingness. Don't stay tied to the fear. Move out on what is a burning passion in you to do. Don't let that fire die. Don't let that fire become quenched by fear and loss, being lost and being broken and, you know, holding on, and not even just holding on, but feeding that spirit of brokenness that's trying to keep you tied to your path. You know, decide which spirit you're going to feed. Which one are you going to feed? Are you going to feed the desire to get beyond where you are today, or are you going to feed that spirit of drama? Are you going to feed that spirit of I'm so hurt and I'm so broken? And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to talk about hurt and broken people, because there's different ways where I may be hurt or broken daily. But even in my past, and you know my past, you know the things that I've had to grow up with, things that I've had to grow up through and grow up beyond. So there's a lot of hurts and pains in my past, but one thing that I've always been able to hold on to is the love of God that's been on my life.
Mm-hmm.
And holding on to that, and, you know, again, I'm a minister, so I can't help but to minister.
Right.
So, you know, for those of you who are listening, you're going to get that out of me. But I, and this is a real part of me, because you hear me when I come to you, and I'm even in a place of pain, you know, even in a place of being hurt, when I come to you, I still can. There's this balance that God has been able to give me to say, you know what, I'm not broken, I'm not defeated, I might be going through, but I can't hold on to this position because that's not me.
Right. You know, and some women on here, you may not even realize it. You may not be an ordained minister. You may not be a preacher or evangelist, but you may, but because you're a believer,
mm-hmm.
you're ministering to people.
Amen.
And sometimes you may not even know you're ministering to people. What brings to mind is I have an aunt, and me and my aunt are very close in age. And I could just think of times where I called her and been it. And she could get caught, and she could have chosen to get caught up in my venting session, my pity party, my whatever. And when I think about it, I can't recall a time that she's ever done that. I can recall times of getting through talking to her and being mad because she didn't agree with me or she didn't buy into my pity party, but she gave me a constructive, positive position to move in.
Amen.
And I was like, you're supposed to be agreeing with me, you know. And she never disagreed or agreed, but she's always given a positive feedback.
Yeah,
you know, you need, and it's never you need to. Well, sometimes you just have to be still, sometimes you just have to be grateful for this and that, and you just have to look at it like this. And I think she don't really even realize that her ability to be able to neither agree or disagree, but just to speak encouraging and positive, in essence, is her ministry.
Amen.
You know, to minister. And so we could be a ministry to people. You being able to just pick somebody random, a woman random, this is woman to woman, your sister randomly, somebody you don't even have to know.
Uh-huh.
And just to say hello, how are you? You know, have you been told you love the preacher? Oh, my God, do you know you're gorgeous?
Yes.
And oftentimes it's funny because the people I choose and pick and choose to say that to, I've said that to people that I picked up in my spirit that they didn't feel that about themselves.
Mm. Mm.
I picked up them. I could see a spirit of defeat.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the spirit of low self-esteem or whatever it could be.
Mm.
And just to be able to say those words to them. Because, you know, when you have a low self-esteem, a spirit of defeat, you see that manifest in so many different ways. And oftentimes we think the person who's, hanging with their head low and dragging through life is the one. But I see more people that's defeated. And they got on, their boobs hanging out.
Uh-huh.
You know, they got they Daisy Duke shorts on with their booty hanging out. I'm just keeping it real. And those people are the most broken people.
But I'm going to add to that because some of them are the ones who are driving around in Mercedes, owning this house, and, you know, they go home and they're in the house all by themselves, not because they choose to be, not because they desire to be. Because there's some people who do choose. They're happy being by themselves, but in being by themselves, they're still not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
They have their circle, they have their group, and when they go home, that's their me time.
Their purpose.
Exactly. And then there's some people who want to give the impression of I have it all together and I don't necessarily have it all together. And I'm just going to add to what you were talking about because, you know, we do have to encourage each other. We do have to stop the drama and stop starting the drama. We do have to be a place or a community of women who are building each other. I've been driving with my aunt, and, you know, I wondered why God had me driving with my aunt because she has a business for dealing with developmentally disabled persons. And so I've been helping her. She had a driver who passed on, and she needed somebody to come in and stand in place for a couple of months until she, you know, was able to move past that. She has a couple businesses, and so she really didn't want to take the time to stop and find a new driver. And so anyways, with all of that being said, I am allowed to experience these different people on a daily basis. And we think we're so highly functioning. We think we're such intelligent people. Those of us who are not developmentally disabled, but I find that although we may think we have it all together,
we don't.
We don't. We definitely don't. There's this one lady who we, at first I even complained. I was like, she is such a struggle. She, it's a fight to get her into the car. And today, God stopped me and he told me, tell her you love her. She doesn't even live at home with her family. She's an older woman, and I don't know if anybody at any point in time in her day ever tells her that they love her.
Mm-hmm.
I know she can barely speak. She fights out of frustration. And all of us as women can understand when we get to that place where we fight out of frustration. You know, we lash out at each other. We lash out at our friends. We lash out at our sisters. We lash out at our family out of being hurt, out of being angry, out of being frustrated. So, you know, she can't get herself into the car, and it's a struggle for her. And so what if it's a struggle for everybody else? Shoot, if she could get in and out the car by herself, she wouldn't even be worried. You know what I'm saying? She wouldn't be worried about us. And she wouldn't be getting on everybody's nerves. But she has to experience that struggle day in and day out and cannot get out of that experience.
Right.
And we are, as capable people, are not taking the time to love on her.
Mm.
And so I'm always sweet, and I'm doing air quotes. I'm always sweet and I'm always nice, but I had to take a moment to connect with her, and I'm finding that I'm learning so much, and that's why God has passed me there. But I'm learning so much.
Great experience.
Helping me with my ministry, especially when I'm saying minister to women. But you have to be able to minister to everybody, and you have to understand everybody's challenges and everybody's situations in order to be able to minister to people. But God had me stop what I was doing and just love on her. And this lady fights, she scratches, I mean, she cusses all the time. I'm a B every other word. But today I was like, not today. And I had to tell her I loved her, and I rubbed her back and, you know, gave her a hug. I don't even know if she ever gets hugs or anything like that because she's in a home. But I'm saying all that because we do have to take the time to love on each other in this life.
In spite of their challenges.
In spite of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And we always want to tear people apart because of the challenges. If I'm going through challenges, what do I need you to tear me apart for? Give me one more challenge.
Wow.
Why do I need you to break me down some more? And I'm already hurting. And we may be experiencing the same pain. We may be going through together. You know what I'm saying? We both on the job, and we both upset about what's going on the job, and you start talking about me, bad-mouthing me, and making it harder for me. And I'm like, dang, how are you going to come and give me more of a hardship when you have hardship in your own life? So, yes, women, yes, ladies, this month is about building and encouraging each other, and we are really passionate about us, all of us, getting to that next level in life, all of us being empowered to say, you know what, I may be going through, but I don't have to stay here.
Right.
I don't have to be chained to this situation, and I don't have to change somebody else to this situation. I don't have to make you a prisoner of this situation so that I can get my liberty and my freedom of this situation. Well, I'm going to make you a prisoner so that I can be free.
This definitely is ministering to me, and I know it's ministering to so many other people that's listening in, and we thank you so much for tuning in and to Woman to Woman. You know, wow, tonight's show, this did not go in the direction. But you know what? Sometimes you just have to be obedient.
Yes.
And let things flow. Somebody need to hear what's been spoken on tonight. Somebody was probably in the midst of having to make some decisions and make some choices. And this has just been so rich with dialogue, so rich with information that we do have choices.
We do.
You know, we do have choices, and we could choose to be the victim or we could choose to be the victor. And we could, you know, like I said again, it's just giving me some thoughts to some things that I need to fix, some things I need to get right. And I'm praying for that person out there. Father God, we thank you for our listening audience on tonight. We thank you for each woman that chose to tune in, whether they called in via phone or they're listening in via internet, or maybe perhaps they'll listen in later through archives. We just thank you for each one. We pray, Father God, that as they heard the words on tonight, as they heard the dialogue, Father, that something was triggered inside of them that is causing them and provoking them to purpose, that's provoking them to make a decision, Father, that they do realize that they're the manifestation of the finished work.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you for each listener. We thank you for their support, and we thank you, Father, for Woman to Woman.
Yes.
Father, that you've given a format to minister to women about women issues, a real practical principles unto perception. Father, that you have given us a way to be able to present to women some real things that they could grasp, Father, that's tangible for them to be able to walk away with and begin to walk in and practice, Father.
Yeah.
So, Father, I pray that each person, I challenge them on tonight, that each person this week will challenge themselves at least once a day to speak a word of life into someone else, to be a blessing to others, Father, as you have blessed them. We thank you, Father, for your many blessings. We thank you for Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, that tells us if we hearken diligently and obey your commands, that you command us this day, that blessings will overtake us.
Mm-hmm.
That if we hearken diligently and obey the commands that he has commanded us this day. And when I say commands that he commanded us this day, I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about what has God told you today to do?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What has he commanded you to do today that you haven't done? Because
mm-hmm.
the other part of Deuteronomy, people always like to read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, because it talks about the blessings. But guess what? Chapters 15 through 30 talk about the curses of not being obedient.
Mm-hmm.
We always want to talk about, oh, God's going to bless me. Oh, I'm going to receive my blessing. Oh, prosperity. All this claim it, name it, claim it, tag it, all this stuff. But we don't never talk about the curses when we don't do what God told us to do. So I'm telling you tonight, whoever you are, what has God told you to do that you in rebellion? And rebellion don't have to be no just blunt out, I said no. Rebellion is simply not doing what he told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up with excuses of why you didn't do it. Are you going to do it later? I'll do it later. I'll do it next week. I'll do it whenever. But what has he commanded you to do? Have you hearkened diligently and have you obeyed? Because if you hearken diligently and you obey, blessings will overtake you. So with that being said, we thank you for tuning in to tonight's episode of Woman to Woman, and we hope that you tune in this Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Processing the Pain. But yours truly, Coach D, same channel, the same station, the same number. And then on Mondays, tune in at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Relentless Pursuit. Again, we love you. We appreciate you. And we'd love to hear your ideas. If you have any ideas that you would like to see brought to Woman, please feel free to email us at w@mycoachd.net. Again, that's w@mycoachd.net. And we would love to consider your ideas for our future shows. Thank you and have a good night.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Sing it again.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we sing.
songs of love and songs of
joy. Woman to woman. Yeah. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for 'em.